Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast, where we triple your impact per engineer. As always, I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, advisor and consultant to tech executives worldwide, and our subject today is the directionless CTO. What? Let me give you some background. Having worked with so many companies, I tend to spot certain patterns that seem to repeat themselves. And one such pattern is the pattern where you have a technical co-founder, oftentimes the CTO, but not always, and there comes a point where this person within the company seems to no longer have a clear direction. And when that happens, you know that you have to do something or things will go bad. So I'll start a bit with some background about how you might be able to spot this. I'm guessing it's going to be easier to spot if you're one of the people around that CTO. So if you're the VP of engineering or you're the CEO, you're going to notice it more easily. But let's go over it. And if you feel like, hey, he might be talking about me, stick around. I've got some stuff for you. So I've seen it so many times where you have this extremely bright, talented, highly effective CTO that as the company grew, as things changed, as the organization needed to mature, they said, I am not interested in having the people responsibility. I do not want to be in charge of the people and process. I don't want to be the VP of engineering. And then they brought in someone else to take charge of that. And slowly, they became disengaged with the management and leadership of the engineering team. What then is left? Some of them naturally gravitate towards other areas in the company, but others just seem to be stuck in some sort of limbo. They still have responsibility for, you know, a specific area that maybe they had the most experience in. It's something that they started, something that they care about. But oftentimes, think of an engineering organization that keeps growing and growing and growing, and there's this one person that no one is entirely sure what is his or her role, and that person just seems to do whatever they feel like. So maybe one day you wake up, you see, hey, who's your emerging code that's touching my stuff? Oh, it's the CTO again. I'm guessing they had a new idea. Or you have the CTO constantly complain about how things are done, about how things should be done faster, should be done differently, but because this CTO has no areas of accountability, that person can really allow themselves to speak about stuff and complain. Well, no one else can say the same about them because, hey, if you have no areas of accountability, you can't really do anything wrong, right? But the issue is that it also means that you are very limited in the amount of impact that you can generate on the business because you can only complain about stuff and you might have a good idea. But when you're working, like, you know, you've gone rogue, you're on no one's roadmap, you just do whatever you feel like you want to do, more often than not, that means that you're not going to be doing stuff that actually matter. You're not going to do the things that are the highest priority. And that, my friend, is a waste of talent, a waste of time. And it really, as I've seen it several times before, it can really become a major issue when it comes to the relationships and the trust between the entire C-suite, because the VP of engineering might feel like they're always being undermined, or the CEO might feel like they have to work around this person so that they still feel valuable but do not make things stuck. Whatever it is not ideal. So consider if you're a CTO with a similar background, you now have a VP of engineering or a VP of R&D or whatever you want to call it under you, or not even under you, not reporting to you, but another person in the company. Think whether you have any defined targets and a defined impact on the company. Or are you essentially putting sticks in their wheels as they're trying to pick up steam? So what are you supposed to do? If you're a VP of engineering or a CEO who's noticing this, I think you can talk about this. If you're a CTO that's realizing, hey, this might be me, I think you really ought to take charge of your direction and stop being directionless. Because there's this quote that I really, really like, and it says something along the lines of, when you're unsure of where you're going, no wind is a good wind. And that is precisely the case in these sorts of scenarios. We have one of the most brightest, talented, experienced people in the company, and usually they have a lot of gravitas. They have a lot of sway over the organization because they're literally there since day one. They have a co-founder title. They are being underutilized because they could get so much done in the organization had they only been given a clear path to go through, had they only had a clear goal. So, how can we get there? There are a few issues and there's no one right answer. I think that the first step should be for you to realize, hey, I am directionless and I need to find somewhere to channel my strengths. That is step number one. Step number two is thinking, where should you be directing your efforts? So I'm going to list out a few examples of areas where I think you can have a lot of impact and positive effects on the company. Number one is clearly the technical / innovation / architecture area. And that means if you come from a very technical background, maybe what you need to be doing is taking charge about certain innovative aspects of the company's tech. So maybe you have some sort of lab where you and a couple of other talented people try things that are very technologically forward, you know, bleeding edge, cutting edge, so that you find where the company might have new opportunities. Or maybe you can act as a skunkworks team that tries some innovative ideas with product before you decide that this is a direction that's worth, you know, actually putting on the roadmap, committing to. This is usually more useful at more mature companies where it is harder to do these sorts of tasks fast. I, for one, was part of such a team where we created a whole new product within, like, I believe it was less than 2 months. We got to more than 1 million users within a month, and the company simply pivoted the entire business to that because we had enabled that. We had that, done that experiment. We proved that it was a worthwhile direction, and everyone shifted over there. That's an example. Another point might be becoming an outward-facing CTO. So you don't have to actually be doing any of the inwards work when it comes to working on the roadmap, working with the people, actually coming up with the architecture and the solutions. But you can be outward-facing. So you are the top technical person that talks to partners, that is sitting on meetings with prospects, that is speaking at conferences, that is arranging meetups. You are the technical face for the company, and you can help in bringing in some more talent, bringing in some more deals, bringing in some more partnerships. That is oftentimes a position that provides enormous leverage for the company. And if you are good at that and you feel passionate about doing that, I really recommend checking that out and thinking whether you could be focusing more of your efforts over there. Another example would be deciding that you are taking on different areas of responsibility as sort of a very useful wild card. I've seen this time and time again where the CTOs end up taking on responsibilities that no one else at this point of time is able of doing. And often, these might not even be really technical, so it might be taking control of the product work. I've seen people take control of customer success, of kicking off marketing automation, of kicking off the efforts of creating a new site for the company in general. So you act as an executive in the company that has a lot of leverage and has a lot of agency, and you do what needs to be done. You don't get tied up with any specific part of the company. You do something for 6 months or a year, and then you move on to the next era where you are needed. It's sort of like being Batman for the company. You see the bat signal, and you're, oh, I'm needed over there, and then you go there and you make stuff happen over there. I won't say that for the long term it might be the healthiest thing for the organization, But we all know that startups have to play in the real world and not in an idealistic, theoretical kind of world. So sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And lastly, you can also consider just being a part of a company. So you don't have to have a leadership role. You can, and I've seen it in the past, become an individual contributor or an equivalent of a team lead. So you do the work in some area of the company. You still might be sitting in the executive meetings, in the board meetings, and still your day-to-day is somewhere in the organization working on a specific part of the company that you're passionate about. The bottom line here is that you find an area where you are good, where you can provide a lot of impact, and where you feel passion. You need to be waking up every morning and saying, yeah, you know, I'm pumped. I want to do this. I want to get this done. I want to help the company in that way. If none of these make you interested, if you're not passionate about anything I just listed, if you cannot come up with any specific direction, then I've got bad news and good news for you. The bad news might be that you have outgrown the company. The good news is that you've just successfully created a company that is probably going to succeed without you. And if you cannot find anywhere where you can take responsibility and be accountable for a specific area without stepping on any toes, maybe the right thing for you is to go and find your next company, your next role. And I've seen this in the past where we realized that one of the co-founders no longer had real impact and has outgrown the company. And I know that it's easier said than done. I know that it's hard. I know that it sucks sometimes to think about leaving your own company. But it just might be the best solution for everyone around. So you can help your people, your amazing, talented people that you brought on to be able to achieve more. And you can help yourself because, as I always say, and you've probably heard me say it a bunch of times on the podcast, life is too short to waste them away. Don't waste your life trying, fighting to find a spot for you within this one company. Just because you started it doesn't mean that you have to stay there forever. I say, feel good about having created such a successful company that you aren't even needed, and find your next goal. Find your next company. I believe that if there's nowhere else for you in the company, then the right thing for everyone around is for you to move on. So think about that. If you're contemplating, you're unsure, if you're spotting that you have this sort of a CDO in your company, but you don't know what to do about it, if you need someone to talk to, reach out to me. These are the sorts of problems that I really like to solve. So you have my email in the show notes. Just send me an email. Let's schedule some time to chat. And that's it for this week. I hope you have an amazing week. I hope you are making the most out of the time we have left in the year. And if you haven't yet, do subscribe to my newsletter. It's the best newsletter online for tech executives. Thank you for joining me. Talk soon.